This is a production of Cornell University.
The time is now 4:47. Rep. Bonatti. And now calling this student assembly meeting to order. Chelsea, could you please call the roll?
She'll be late. Unexcused. He's here. He just stepped out. She's excused. Oh, wait. She's here. She's going to be late. Or I don't know where she is.
She's here.
She's here. Anyway.
He's here. He's here. Here.
Here.
Excuse. Oh wait, did you say Lee?
No, Lee's here.
Lee's here. Lee's Lovely here. Is right here.
Here.
He's here.
He'll be here.
What?
Yeah.
Great, thank you. Moving on to approval of the minutes from the October 4th, 2012 meeting. Are there any motions? There's been a motion to approve and it's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none. Moving on. Next part of the agenda is open microphone. If there's anyone in the audience who is not on the agenda, stop laughing, Sylvia. Feel free to come up and speak. Okay, moving on to announcements and reports. The first is a Cornell Minds Matter announcement. What is the background
for that? I'm glad to thank you for the Cornell Minds Matter. We talked a lot about mental health issues that are going through the campus. I think that this year the health conference will push some interest in mental health issues just because with all the sexual assault and violence and police and focusing on mental health attention in the back burner right now. So it is something to look out for and look at the needs of people to use the mental health resources that are being funded. And I just kind of want to echo that on what's going on with that. We did have a really interesting conversation about the mental health of those who are affected by sexual assault and violence.
And also, we have been involved in mental health issues before. A couple years ago, FA members started caring, Cornell Caring Community Celebration C4. So it's not just an issue that is kind of random to the essay. We have been involved in it. Next announcement is by VP Gitlin.
Guys, first of all, thank you to everyone who came to the voter registration rally 2 weeks ago. I just want to make a quick announcement that if you are from New York, starting the last day to register to vote, and it's obviously very important election, just make sure to get your registration from them.
Great. And I have two announcements. The first, I'm going to send this in an email after this meeting as well. We're going to have an internal election for the VP of Diversity and Inclusion. That's going to be a week from this Sunday at 12 noon. I'm going to send out an email about that following this meeting. We might also the day before have a social event that Saturday. potentially out into the streets, but that's not positive. You'll hear from the socialists about that. And then the second announcement for me is regarding Cuba's Watchers. Over the past 2 weeks, we had interviews for the executive board, and we now have an executive board. We also are in the process of submitting our declaration of incorporation to New York State, so that Cuba's Watchers is a, you know, self-entity and a corporation, limited liability corporation, whatever you want to call it. So if you guys are interested in getting involved in that, especially younger members, you know, definitely reach out to me and reach out to John. But it's sort of a cool initiative that's really, you know, keep on moving along. The last announcement is an Appropriations Committee announcement, but VP Desai will be back in a little while. So we are going to... Go for it. Thanks.
Just to add, there'll also be a Facebook event going out tomorrow, so if you could share as many people as you can, that'd be great.
Thanks, Matt.
Great. So moving on to business of the day, resolution 11.
What?
What?
Who?
Okay, Sarah isn't here. Moving on to new business, renaming of the Financial Aid Review Committee, Rep. Kirk.
Where on the agenda is not?
Hi, everyone. So this resolution is really interesting to you as much as it just makes official what we've already been doing. So
are you emailing people?
The committee
will you let tight people know when they're from that?
But the other members haven't been involved in the institution on that. So it's now fully under the jurisdiction of the FAA, population speaking. And so the first order of business on this resolution is just to bring it the Financial Aid Review Committee. The longest part at the bottom is more clarifying the membership and actually changing anything. A lot of it is just updating people's titles and other things like that. There are two changes on the flight. One was eliminating the seat for somebody from DTSA, and that goes in line with it no longer being a member of the Financial Aid Committee. The other one is that there used to be a seat for an SA member in the chair and two SA members. We decided to cut that to one, not because we feel there should be more people on it, but this is the third year where I've had trouble staffing the committee. I was the only SA member on the committee the past 2 years. So that's really it. It's more operational than anything else. There's no actual tangible changes outside the scope of how the committee runs.
So we're now opening the speakers list to Resolution 3. Remember, it's new business, so only questions. First on the speakers list is Representative Smith.
Next on the speaker's list is VP Frieden. Hi, Dan. Quick question about Iris or Iris. I was just wondering about her involvement in the resolution and also how she would be considered her. Would she be one of the, perhaps, if when the resolution passed, would she be considered one of the 500 graduates in the
Iris? So I haven't been on the committee since I've been on the FA. She's a third year on the committee. And so she, we're having to kind of focus on the committee, but this is the website. But she is a member of the committee again. I included her more because this is something that we wanted to do for a while. I'm going to be including a lot of committee members to try to get them involved in the process. We have a few more resolutions that we're going to pass, and so I'm going to be bringing them to the meeting. I just submitted this to the job about a month ago because I get pushed back. I said I was presenting myself because we just haven't been scheduled.
Gotcha. Thanks.
Next on the speakers list is Brett Muir.
Hi, I know you looked very touched on this, but would you mind just reiterating why you were moving to GTSA involvement in a little more detail?
So I think the main reason that we talked about it when we met about it as a committee is that we felt that most undergraduate financial aid policy pertain to just that, like most of the financial policy are undergraduate policy. Also, another role of the committee is that we administer the Student Health and Students Grant, which is a grant for students and university funds, and that's only available for undergraduates. And that's actually the biggest thing we do in terms of what we do on a day-to-day basis. So we don't do much in any work that pertains to graduate students to begin with.
So what is the joint assemblies financially, like the joint
part of
that
referring to? The committee was originally founded as a joint endeavor for UA and UCSA. And so the piece was designed so that like GTSA members could be involved, EA was looking for somebody, that hasn't happened. We also, it also technically supposed to be like representation from the Ethical Senate, and that's also like, sure by that nature, which is in the access to membership. And so it's very hard to get people who aren't in UCSA to come to the main first place. So we're trying to streamline this. Because the student health and students grant, we're voting on the grant from the first day of class, which is going to need as much of a full application as possible.
Rep Bonatti.
I know you were saying how long this strike through the issue of the issue number in the committee, because it was much too early to do one. But don't you think this thing, I was just wondering if you thought that this being a
the end of the speakers list. This.
Can I motion to move to this today? There's no really external impact. Like, there's no externality involved with this.
You know, again, this is not an urgent renaming. I'm going to give the SA time to look it over for the next week. Its passage today will not have an impact on its operation. So we will give people the extra week to look over it, and it'll come back up next week. Yes.
Even if this is a discussion before, but it can't actually be voted on because it's a bylaw change anyway, so it can't get presented on the first amendment.
Okay. So there isn't a speakers list anyway, so there isn't anyone who wants to make a comment on it. So it's just going to come up at the next meeting, and we'll go into normal debate. Is that okay? Great. Okay. Next on the agenda is Resolution 14, Late Night Survey.
motion to table this to motion to table this indefinitely.
So there's been a motion to table resolution 14 indefinitely. Just for the SA's own edification, can you explain why you want to table it?
So we're going to run merger. This survey was passed last semester, and we want to make as many updates that are relevant to this year as possible. And we want to also update with a few different groups on campus and the administration to create a survey that can also help the administration, help the non-citizens ourselves. So we will be meeting with different people over the next week. And then we'll be sending out the rough news every day.
Okay. So just to reiterate that, they do want to bring it up again at some point, but they are taking the extra time now to review the questions and consult with the administration and other student groups. Next on the agenda, this is in the updated agenda that John sent out, not in this agenda, is Resolution 9. Which was resubmitted to the agenda. It did not pass last week, but it's being represented by its principal sponsor, Smith, Representative Smith, now. Okay.
Can you tell people to turn their mics towards themselves? That's what that keeps happening.
John would like me to tell everyone to move your microphones around when you're not speaking in them.
Don't do that. That's why we have feedback right now.
Oh, don't do that. Okay.
That's probably not good either. Just speak, don't speak like when you're not speaking.
There's a point of information. What's your... So I'm going to yield to Ari on this one. I'd also like to reiterate to answer the point of information, it's business of the day unless there's dissent from anyone here. And I'd just also like to remind everyone the comments from last meeting, please do not speak over other people during this meeting or have side conversations because it's really disturbing to just general business of the SA. So just have respect for each other. Yes.
Can you just explain why I was putting a table again,
just
so
it's
on record?
I would like to defer to the sponsor, Ulysses,
sure.
And see why he thinks that.
So, last week, we see...
Can you speak a little more?
Last week, we see a lot of confusion regarding the
what was happening with Jen was abuse, and I think that led to a lot of the attention to the doctor that was told. So, I figured it would be appropriate to say what social distribution to be to this same resolution. Now that there is a much clearer understanding of what is happening with Jen and its status, so now we can actually discuss this fully without having that being a factor. So just to kind of go to everybody's point, because that's going to be a big thing over the gym. Then it is the infrastructure. I don't know if that's going to stick out to everybody or not. But regardless, if you should be both of the dependency, they're not, one is not dependent on the other half. So will they be able to work together? Absolutely. Obviously, they have to be a reason why they should be in search of it. So that investment basically is just to reiterate what's going on with the city and focuses on. The first thing is just from the academic standpoint of it. So the main accomplishment is not so much people from the assembly, as much as people from the individual college. That's the real thing, that's where the focus is. That's where, you know, the faculty are going to be actually making a lot of progress and making a lot of these decisions. Supporting structure is the people who are sitting on the committee are the ones who are actually writing the diversity initiatives in the first place, and who show the new eyes for a lot of places. So those initiatives have to go there in the annual report of all the meetings. So it's just also approved by the Council and the Provost. So yes, it does have a structure that has to be met. The initiatives have to be chosen every year now. A new set of initiatives that have to be chosen every year. So this is an ongoing thing. And whether or not in the future, for the destination, for the term or something, this could be able to be pending because there's still obviously those initiatives need to be taken in the classroom.
Just from my vantage point, from what I see, it seems like, and correct me if I'm wrong, that this Diversity Affairs Coalition is more academically based, whereas the restructuring of JAMIC, which I believe the representatives who are working on it are going to send out within the next couple of days because they're having sort of internal discussions about it, is more sort of student and academic services based. That's sort of the distinction that I see. So we're going to go into the speakers list. The first person on it is Representative Block.
Thank you. Sitting on a particular committee, who could then be sent to this committee, or at least everyone could be my favorite.
And just a quick follow-up question. This building is a vehicle that we can try to use to tackle something like really this problem.
I think it could very well be, especially if you're looking at getting education incorporated into certain curriculums of the college, that's why I'm really part. For instance, I will, more of an issue, but just a quick example. A couple of years ago, I had a people studies and politics course in my CRP department, and the professor absolutely refused to appear to be focusing on the 60s, but she refused to appear to be the right one. And it's just how do you tip over a whole group of people in the era that has such a major effect on things, particularly when you're talking about infrastructure, hiring, how that divided community, and how that is going to crack. So I think you could talk about certain religious movements, but if you're trying to get that back into curricular activities, I think it could be a particular initiative that isn't particularly. And I think this is something that could be discussed.
That's great.
Okay. EVP Mueller.
Hey, thank you so much. I just wanted to, this is more of a comment than it is a question. You and I have talked a lot about this, and we've had plenty of executive board meetings to get through it, so I don't really need too much edification. I just wanted to address the point of those of us who might have the notion that this is somehow a duplication of what we see in JAMIC. Why do we need a second diversity coalition or a second diversity council of some sort? And I would just bring forward the point that there's no reason why not to have more than one. It is something that is involved in all of our committees. It's something that should be involved in all of our committees. It's something that clearly reaches beyond just student life, beyond just academics. An example of some of our other committees that are overlapping, we were just talking about the task force stuff in the conference room before, and we found an issue where sexual assault and mental health were overlapping, and those are in completely different task forces, and that's okay. And I think that if we look at these two, JAMIC and the diversity coalition like that, that's a good analogy for it, and it shows that there's no reason not to have both.
Thank you. Next is Rep. Bonatti.
Thank you, Mr. I think this is great and lifelong. Thank you for it. I just have a comment, a question which maybe comes from this, but not to me. I was wondering, the Cornell outdoor education, to me, I don't know if that is different from all the other universities in the city. I was wondering if you could comment.
Yeah, actually, the first chapter, the Cornell outdoor education, is not included. When I showed this feedback from some of the administrators I worked with, Dr. Kiwala actually suggested that I include Cornell outdoor education. And if you look at some of the programs, they are an academic program. They do offer academic services and things like that, but then they also have a leadership activity class, courses that they offer. So, maybe if we include this, then we can talk about how we can train more diversity, how they get faculty and initiatives into their own coursework, into their own curricular practices. I thought that was a great idea, considering I didn't even know that Quinn outdoor education is that. I'm not going to be perfect, so you know what we're going to do about that.
Okay, so the faculty wouldn't be only like groups with that courses in the university.
It's not focused on people who are focused on diversity, it's focused on access. So the people who are on the road, the main competition is the colleges, the people from each of the colleges. Cornell outdoor education is still an access to people. And that's why they're there.
Next is VP Desai.
Thank you, Lizzie. Thank you for your own patience and persistence in bringing this forward. I know it's been a little bit of a tough stretch for you. I wanted to echo some of EDP Mueller's sentiments. I know that there was a lot of discussion around whether or not this replicated the new JAMIC. And I think my first point is, in my own personal opinion, This resolution should not at all be tied to Vice President Gitlin and Representative Pritchett's upcoming resolution about the new formation of JAMIC. The two are completely separate bodies. How you vote on this should not impact how you vote on that, and vice versa. My own vantage point of why I think the two are different, this is given a specific charge by the way that we have written it to address and keep accountable the UDC and their task of creating university-wide initiatives along with anything else that comes up in the future, as opposed to JAMIC, which in my opinion is an incubator for student initiatives that can then go through the student assembly to address issues of diversity and inclusion on campus, and like I just don't know how those could be any more different. So I have thrown my full support and weight behind this resolution. I think it's a fantastic idea and really gets us moving in a direction that we need to go.
Next is Representative Iwaoka.
So I agree with both sentiments that people have expressed. I think that something else people should consider is before I arrived at student assembly, I had some exposure to some Cornell administrators on the campus life and the committee I was involved in there. And that focus group or committee work was such a great way to build relationships with people who are making important decisions for this campus. And it was sort of like their energy and their activism in their own way that got me motivated to do something from a student perspective. And I think that a committee like this that combines essay members in addition to different academic leaders across campus provides a great opportunity for all essay members and the students to get involved and meet some of the really important players on this campus. In addition to that, the woman with the email address, DAC11, said to me last week, people say we can only have one example, one of these committees. She's like, why? There's no reason you can't have more. And I agree completely, and I think I'll let them support this again.
Next on the speaker's list is Rep. Batista.
I just really wanted to echo the questions from D.C. Mueller and the Representative Sai and the Iwaoka. Just that I'm really excited and full support for this as well. There's no work becoming local committee, especially since we don't see that it doesn't just create clear goals and expectations to agree. And it's something that can be hit the ground around.
Next is Rep. Kirk.
I don't have any questions against this, and I think it's great, so I call it a question.
There's been a motion to call it a question. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we are going to vote on Resolution 9. Chelsea, whenever you're ready.
What?
Ross?
Yes.
Bonanti?
Yes.
Breeden?
Yes.
Chen?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Chelsea?
Yes.
Desai?
Yes.
Rockin?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Leeds? Lovely?
Yes.
Lucia? Yes. Marshall?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. What was Lee's vote and the last vote? What? Sorry. By a vote of 23-0-0, Resolution 9. Anyone else besides 11?
Yeah.
So we are gonna move on to Resolution 11. One of the sponsors, Rep. Shufala, can't make it, but we are gonna start presenting it anyway. It's new business anyway, so we won't be voting on it necessarily today. So she will have an opportunity to present. Oh, sorry. Okay. Sorry, it is business for the day.
Okay, I'm on.
this is just going back to the old requirement, required formally now, that every person who applies to run for the assembly will fill out exactly any more record elections for the tax, but they have to fill out the committee application.
And some of the issues that were presented last week, last time this came up, regarding some of the requirements and bringing up the proper procedures were addressed and the appropriate amendments were made in relation to that discussion. I thought we had a very good discussion on it a few weeks ago. It's bringing requirements more in line with what we think would be useful and the ability of candidates informed and make them better future members of the student assembly. I hope you all support it. It's the first of many changes to make for our election process as we prepare for the spring election.
We're going to open up the speakers list. First is VP Gillen. Gillen.
First of all, I just want to congratulate you. You worked really hard on that last resolution. Really well deserved. I think I've recognized you forever, and we're really thankful that it passed. Just in terms of this resolution, you've had a lot of time to think about it. I think it's something very obvious that we should do. It's another way that we're trying to get students involved, freshmen involved, and we're doing that in many other ways, but it's just another way that we can solidify that effort. So, I'm not going to make a motion, so there's some other people that are on the speaker.
Next is Rep. Bonatti.
Yeah, I was just wondering if you have any more effective since I was looking at checklists, like when people apply to things, they like how it's standard. And I think maybe we should have like a really good question about all the kind of things to go through, every presentation, every committee, so people don't look at one thing and accept this would be like a really useful. And in that maybe they involve
Oh, absolutely. This is by no means the only way that I'll be engaged with regard to the committee process. It will be fully integrated with that information that has been meant for committee meetings. And one of the proposals is that these next election rules that every candidate will have to sit down with a member of the elections committee before appointing a candidate. And so there will be many opportunities to inculcate them with the importance of joining a committee and being involved with the committee process.
Just to clarify, the checklist is not.
Next is VP Lukashevitz.
I just want to say, as VP IS, I'm greatly in support of this resolution. I can say right now that three people yesterday reached out to me about joining a committee that lost the election, and I think that it would have been beneficial for them to fill out the application beforehand, because now they're getting started later in the process, or they're joining later, because they're busy with prelims, so on and so forth, so I think it would have been extremely beneficial.
Next is Rep. Pritchett.
Yes, first of all, my only question is, in the packet of the candidate, will there be information about the community themselves, or will they be tasked with finding it or finding it out in some other way before they check it out?
I see no reason why it wouldn't be in that packet, just because it's closure for the support document that was originally done online. And not only that, I would also include in that document a list of contacts for your committee that they can really reach out. A summary, maybe an action each committee member providing a list of things the committee has done in the past year. So I think that's a great idea, and I would love to kind of bring everyone involved with crash and have access to our candidates to get this.
All right. Next on the speaker's list. Ari.
That's something we did.
So I guess I'll take that as a point of information. The elections packet is a new packet this year that was created that gives information for the freshmen who did not win, because we had that meeting the week after elections for freshmen. And at that meeting, that packet was handed out to everyone with information about initiatives we're working on, committees we have, et cetera. Great.
And just as a point of information for all of us, we'll be getting the agenda in 5 months. Both for you guys, probably better.
Thanks. Next is Rep. Muir. Sorry. Rep. Kerr.
I just want to thank you guys because you took all the recommendations and resolution that we made and did that from the time we looked at the book. So I thank you for that and the whole purpose of the way we did it. I don't see any issues with this resolution other than operational. It's going to be more like what the committee decides to do and how it does implement it. But there's nothing really legislative talking about. A motion to call to question.
There's been a motion to call to question. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? We do have a couple more people on the speakers, about 5 more people on the speakers list. But seeing no dissent, we're going to... What? Did you dissent?
No,
I didn't. Oh, nice. We're going to vote on this by placard vote. If you are in favor of Resolution 11, please raise your placards. What? Okay. If you're against, any abstentions? By vote of 22-0-0, Resolution 11 passed. We are going to have one more announcement, and then we're actually going to go into task force executive sessions. And in addition, and then after that, because we plan for this to be a quicker meeting, we have a presentation from PEGS today after the executive session. Peer Educators for Gender and Sexuality. So that will be after what? It's going to be more likely at 6 if they can start then, if they can do it. So, first, the appropriations announcement.
They're coming in.
So this is just the weekly appropriations announcement about who we're going to be seeing next week. So at 5 o'clock, we will be seeing the Willis Trade Hall Union Board, and at 5:45, we will be seeing Alana. So if you are interested in either of these groups in terms of their violent funding allocations and how the SA checking in with them over the course of this year, both financially and operationally, I strongly suggest you to attend one of these meetings or to attend either or both hearings. They are in Saturday 4:53, so if you're interested, please shoot me an email beforehand so that I know that you're coming. Yeah, thank you. 5 to 5:45 and 5:45 to 6:15.
Okay. With that, we are going to move into executive session for task forces. So those who, Dean Humble, for those who are not on the student assembly, if you could please leave, that would be great.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.